where the high wires drop, where the fat crows fly. Written by Corey the Killer, read by Fens and Marshes. Fandom, Dream SMP. Warnings for referenced canonical major character injury. 1. The night smells like citrus and rainwater up here. Always does. Ponk leans forward to try and get a better look at the unarmored figure dragging himself up the path, tracking blood. Through flickering torchlight, Z recognizes the shine of black-spotted fur. He looks different without the armor and weaponry usually strapped to his side. He looks small. Sam has not approached him since... Oh, Z's not wearing Zia prosthetic right now. Zia left sleeve hangs loosely. So he's here for the promise Ponk offered him, then. Z considers not keeping it, wondering what Sam would do then. 2. Sam is at a loss for words the moment he lays eyes on Ponk, a statement that sounds far too romantic for what it isn't. Right now, he's a maelstrom of things he can't pick apart, for all that his steady fingers have handled tiny circuit boards and soldered thread-thin wires. The prison, a blade cutting long and deep across his torso. Death. If he'll be honest, Sam only half remembered the offer of sanctuary when he turned his back to the prison. So his voice catches under Ponk's steely gaze, but they step aside and let him in anyways. 3. So what happened? Last night was this. Wordless interactions shot through with short exchanges leading nowhere. Ponk leading Sam to a spare room without asking for an explanation. Maybe she's still too trusting for her own good because she doesn't know Sam anymore, not really. The prison, dreams out. Oh God, dreams out. He looks dazed, curled over himself, tracing over the scarring on his forearm. The far-out stare is a feeling Ponk knows all too well, after the Red Festival, after her arm. That particular reminder is enough to make her want to leave the room immediately. 4. What comes of their arrangement is that Ponk wears their mask most of the time, and Sam tries to make all 7 feet and 4 inches of himself as small a presence as possible. He helps around where he can and waits. He waits for more information to come to light. The syndicate came in without warning and left the same way, vanished into the Arctic. He waits for Ponk to talk to him. He waits for some metaphorical axe to fall. Dream's going to come calling. Sam wants to be far away from the lemon tree when he does. 5. The glass breaks one evening when Ponk is inside and Sam comes back from fixing up one of the hoppers, redstone glittering on his arms. He's quiet in his entrance, probably too quiet because his silhouette appears in Ponk's peripheral and Z forgets everything. Z doesn't bolt. Z clutches Z's spoon and presses himself against the wall, inching towards the exit. Ponk? Sam's voice cuts through the panic, and then the crimson is only redstone. A head tilt. Are you afraid of me? No, Ponk mutters, leaving dinner burning on the stove because, fuck, she's not supposed to be anymore. 6. The lemon tree splits the horizon with a single bold stroke, the tangled canopy at the top dotted with yellow like 100 second suns. The wide trunk grows lovingly around Ponk and her home. The walls curve seamlessly into one another, and there's not a single inch of the tree that isn't a reminder of its inhabitant. It's not like the prison. It's flammable. Sam hasn't built anything since he lost his first canon life, but there's a schematic for a fireproofing system half formed in his head, where it'll stay. Anything more is too much like taking root. 7. Sam does not stray far from the lemon tree, but Ponk does. How is he? Foolish asks, picking up a pillar with his bare hands. Being 12 feet probably helped, but holy shit. Ponk tugs off his mask. This desert, at least, is hot. And it's foolish. Hasn't burned down the tree yet? Oh, Foolish frowns. Sam wouldn't do that, would he? Ponk shrugs. It's not that he trusts Sam. Not while he's still living there. Why do you let him, if he might? I said I would, and I think I want to see what he does. 8. You act like you're afraid of me. Ponk inhales sharply. I'm not! Why? He's looking at them, catching the changes in expression that go by too quickly to interpret. You took my arm, Sam. They say it slowly, like they're barely holding back something. But they still flinch sometimes. I'm not going to hurt you again, not unless you break the rules. An impact of flint on steel, a snapped branch, a light bulb without a resistor to keep it from blowing out. What rules, Sam? What fucking rules? Newsflash, there's no more prison, and I still don't have my arm. 9. It's not the same day, but another one where Ponk wakes up with bitterness bleeding from wounds long scabbed over. It doesn't matter who commissioned it, it was to keep the service safe. So, they're fighting in the kitchen. Really? Didn't Tommy die in there? Low blow, but it hits. Tommy died because I fucked up. I promised I wouldn't again. But you did. You always would. Why can't you see you tying yourself to the prison and its protocol? They've had this fight before. They will again. It's something about cycles and circuits. See? They don't stop. Don't break. 10. There's just been no sign of Dream. No word of whereabouts or movements or even existence. Sam knows he isn't the only one nervous because of this, but he's the one who listened to the prisoner's promises of death and suffering. He's tried to explain this to Ponk. They got off track. Every day that Dream does not come for him or his loved ones, through the branches of the lemon tree or the window at night or a dozen other scenarios that he's dreamed up, his fear rises to new heights. As does the creeping thought that Dream will never come. 11. Ponk watches him leave from the same branches he saw him come from, cobbled leather armor a compromise. A breeze blows through and the branch creaks, but holds. There's no question where Sam is going, it's just a matter of whether he'll come back. Z's not the redstone expert here, but it's Z's understanding that all circuits stop because the battery runs out. It strikes them that they're still holding out like in that glass room, even though Z said Z wouldn't anymore. If Sam comes back, Ponk's promise could still hold. Z considers keeping it, wondering what Z'll do then. 12. It's not even a corpse, or if it is, it's a bog body perfectly preserved. Sam built these walls to be impervious to damage, so most of the damage is internal. The syndicate messed with the wiring of the prison, or plain tore them out. It surprises him that his heart aches more for these bits of exposed copper thread than for the empty cell at the centre. Blackstone swallows the click of his claws. He passes chipped stone and stained blood. Pandora's box was made to be opened. There's nothing left here, not even hope stayed. Sam turns back. The end.